Let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we're going to be looking at what to do when your soul is cast down. What to do when your soul is cast down. I believe all of us have had our moments when we've had our soul cast down, whether it's depression, despondency, discouragement. It's all a part of life, and it seems to happen more often than we would like it to happen. But the important thing is not to stay cast down. And it's important to know what the Bible says, what to do when we are discouraged, and maybe when we are in depression. And we see a lot of it today. And we're going to look at some of the reasons for that tonight. And, you know, I think that, you know, Satan, he is working very, very hard in our day and time. He is trying to get us defeated. He is attacking us in every area. And he wants us to be cast down and to stay cast down. Because as long as we are down, we're not going to be of much use to the Lord. We're not going to be passionate about serving the Lord. And we as a church, we need to be excited about serving the Lord. We need to have some joy about serving the Lord, even if our circumstances are not good right now. We may be going through some very difficult times, but, you know, there's always someone that's got it worse than us. And we have a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior. We have the message of salvation, and we have the answer. And, you know, sometimes I think we are so concerned about our circumstances that we forget that God is concerned about our character. God is concerned about building our character. I'm afraid we're so busy grumbling about our problems instead of glorying in God for His greatness. You know, God is great. There's times we're going to get in the flesh and grumble, but we need to get over it. We need to get back to the place where we're giving God the glory and praising Him, rejoicing in Him. And I think we're so focused on ourselves that we forget about others in need around us. And we'll look at this a little later in the message, but I really honestly believe if we could focus on others and helping them, it would really help our depression. It would really help our souls. It would really lift us up and encourage us if we would just forget ourselves and start helping others that are in need. But what is it that essentially casts down our soul? What is it that gets us down in our spirits? And I want you to look at Proverbs. We'll come to Psalm 42 in just a moment, but let's start with Proverbs 12:25 and answer this question: what it is that cast us down. What it is that gets us depressed in our spirits. Proverbs 12:25 says this: heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You know, stoop has the idea of being bowed down. And so the idea of this word stoop is cast down, bowed down, as being burdened with a heavy burden. And essentially, heaviness means a heavy burden. That's what it means. So this question, what is it that casts us down in our souls? Well, one thing that casts us down is heavy burdens. I mean, just heavy burdens in life. It could be a lot of different causes for that burden. But the burdens in life can make our heart to stoop down, according to this verse in Proverbs. But I hope to give you a good word tonight to make your heart glad, because he says a good word maketh it glad. And I'm glad that God's word is good. And when we go to God's good word, our hearts come away glad. But look at Proverbs 13:12. Here's another verse that gives us another reason why we get cast down in our spirits. And you know, it seems like it happens more during the holidays, especially Christmas, with a lot of things going into that, a lot of different things that would for people to be down at this time of the year. But Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." So hope deferred. This hope is talking about expectations. And when our expectations are deferred or delayed or long in being fulfilled, in other words, there's something that maybe we've been praying about and we've been expecting God to answer that prayer. You know, for example, I can give you a personal example. I mean, just the roof. I mean, just the situation in our church. I mean, it's just, it can be so frustrating. It can be so discouraging. And we've been praying for a long time, and I'm like, okay, Lord, it's been long enough. But you know, that hope deferred, that expectation of something to be met or done or fulfilled, when it's deferred, when it's delayed, it says it makes our hearts sick. In other words, we lose hope. We get discouraged. We get down thinking, well, maybe it's not going to get better. Maybe God's not going to answer this prayer. And so we get cast down in despondency. But I'm thankful that God gives us in His Word some truth about how we can overcome this cast down spirit, this depression, this despondency. You know, there's an example in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, when David had they had gone to war with the Philistines, but the Philistine lords didn't trust David, and so they sent him back, and so they go back to Ziklag, where they were staying with their families, and they get back as they're coming near the city. They see it's on fire. And as they get there, the city had been burned with fire. And their wives and children are gone. All their possessions are gone. And these soldiers that are with David are weeping. And they're not happy. And the Bible tells us they were ready to stone David. They were ready to put the blame on David because he was their leader. And so David was down. But I like what it said there in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, I believe it is. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encouraged means that he got courage. I mean, when his hope was gone, when his courage was gone, he went to the Lord gave him courage. The Lord gave him hope. The Lord gave him strength. Let's look at Psalm 42. And I want to read this psalm. It's not long. It's just 11 verses. "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and peer before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." And then I want you to notice that's the first stanza of this psalm, these first four verses. But now verse 5 is like the chorus. This is like the refrain, and you're going to find this refrain again in verse 11. But notice what he said. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then verse 6 starts this second stanza of this psalm. He says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth on the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All of thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." It's interesting there in verse 7, he describes it as like sea waves just coming over him, this trouble just coming over him. And he says, "Thy waves, thy billows." He recognizes from God. God is sending in him these trials. But he says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" And then we have the refrain again. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast or disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, what do we do when our soul is cast down? What do we do when we get down in our spirit, when we get depressed, we get despondent by what's happening in our life? David here was going through some trials. He was in exile. He couldn't go with the people of God to the house of God to worship. He longed for God as a deer, he said, panteth after the water brooks. He longed to go in the presence of God. Remember, this is Old Testament. Where did they worship? It was in a place. It was at the temple. It was in Jerusalem. Well, David couldn't go there. He's exiled because of his enemies. He's out there, you know, praying. And people are mocking him. And people are, his enemies are saying, "Where's your God? Where's your God?" And David's cast down in his spirit. He's discouraged. He's despondent. He's depressed about what's going on. You know, I believe that when we answer this question, what does a Christian do when your soul's cast down? I believe it's like this. When you have a problem physically with your health and you go to the doctor, what does that doctor do? He asks you questions, doesn't he? He'll start asking you, "Where do you hurt? How do you feel? What have you been eating?" You know, he'll be asking you all these questions because what he's doing is he's trying to pinpoint so he can diagnose your problem. He's trying to get to the bottom of what's causing your health problem. And so he's a physical examination or evaluation. And so I believe when it comes to depression, when it comes to being cast down our spirits, we have to take a spiritual evaluation, a spiritual examination. We got to start asking ourselves some questions. And so we're going to look at a couple of questions that we can ask. Number one, you know, when he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Is it because of sin? Number one, is it because of sin? So when we are cast down in our soul and our spirit, we need to ask questions like this. "Lord, is there some sin in my life? Is there something in my life that's causing me to be cast down in my spirit?" Because I can show you in the Bible how that sin will do that. Unconfessed sin will be a burden, a heaviness that will make your heart stoop. Unconfessed sin will cast you down. I want to show you an example, just a few psalms over to Psalm 38. If you'll look in Psalm 38, verse 4, in this psalm of David, he says, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Now notice he recognizes he's got these sins in his life that have piled up over his head. And he said they're like a heavy burden that are too heavy. And then notice verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolish. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. You know, this word troubled is, it comes from the same Hebrew word. It's translated disquieted in Psalm 42:5. I found that interesting. He says, I'm bowed down greatly. David was cast down because of sin, because of iniquity. It was heavy burden to him. Another psalm would be Psalm 32. And this is a psalm of David's confession of his sin. But when you look in verse 3, he says that when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now, when you get to verse 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin. So what he means in verse 3, when I kept silence, this means that before he confessed to sin, he was experiencing some trouble. It was a burden. It was God's hand was heavy upon him. He was cast down. You know, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, listen, what it's going to do is it's going to defeat you spiritually. It's going to get you cast down. It's going to hinder you from praying. It's going to hinder you from reading your Bible. It's going to hinder you from coming to church. It's going to hinder you from serving the Lord. I mean, that's what sin does. Sin breaks that fellowship with God, and what happens eventually is that it affects our church life, our spiritual life. We get so cast down and discouraged by this burden that it affects our service to the Lord. You know, there are a lot of Christians that are a lot of members of BBC and are not in church tonight. Amen. I'm not saying this is the reason, but it could be. It could be. There are a lot of members of BBC that are not giving faithfully tithes and offerings to the church. Why? Well, maybe it's because of this being cast down. There's a lot that's not serving. Or maybe they are, but they're not doing it with joy. Wherever their place of ministry is, they're just kind of like, oh, got to go to church because I've got to be there. I've got to serve in my position. It's like it's a burden. It's not a joy. They're cast down. Discouraged. Ask yourself, is there sin in my life that I need to get confessed, that I need to deal with? Because we see in these verses in Psalm 38 and 32 that as long as David did not confess his sin, he was cast down. He was just beat down. He was bowed down. It wasn't until he confessed it. And when he confessed it, you know, in Psalm 32, where he talked about in the first two verses, blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven and so on. He talks about the blessing of forgiveness, the joy that comes when we know our sins are taken care of. We know that they're forgiven. Well, going back to Psalm 42, you know, when David said in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Notice what he said, hope thou in God. You know, sometimes when we come to God with our sin, if this is a problem, if this is the issue, when we come to God, and we may come to Him, we may confess our sin to God, but we may still be struggling with it, but we keep coming to God and we confess it to God. Listen, the hope thou in God is very important. This is a confident expectation. You know, God's going, He's going to forgive me. He's going to deliver me. He's going to help me. It's really important that we have this believing confidence in God. Amen. If you don't have a believing confidence that when you confess your sin to God, that He forgives it, you're going to walk away just as down and discouraged as you were. But it's when you come to realization, oh man, God's promised it. He promised in 1 John 1:9 that he would, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just, forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I accept that promise. I thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, God. I'm just going to accept your promise. No matter how I feel right now, I'm just going to believe it. Hope thou in God. I have that believing confidence in God, his promises, and his word. You know, I think of an illustration. You know, you can contrast King David and King Saul. You know, King Saul, remember King Saul disobeyed God. Remember that? He didn't do what God told him. I don't have time to go into that story, but I just simply say that he didn't kill King Agag. He didn't kill everything, but he took some of the good parts of the flock as spoil. And so he did not obey God. Well, you know, he lost the kingdom because of that. But you remember, he went into those depressed states. And what did he do? Well, he had David come. When David was just a little shepherd boy, David would come and play his harp. And this gave him temporary comfort. Now, what I want you to know that Saul never dealt with his sin. He would go through these depressed spells, but he would have temporary comfort by having David come and play a song. But if you contrast that with David, you know, when David sinned against Bathsheba, and committed adultery, and when you look at Psalm 32 and he describes that he was, it was affecting him spiritually and it was affecting him emotionally, it was affecting him physically. But notice that David confessed his sin and found comfort in God. That's the difference. David was, when he confessed his sin, he was fully confident that God would answer his prayers and come to his aid, and it resulted in him praising God. You know, in Psalm 42:5, where he says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I want to just explain what this means, for the help of his countenance. He said, "For I shall yet praise him." David was confident. He was hoping in God. He was confident that he was going to be praising God because God was going to answer his prayer. God was going to come to his aid. And he said, "For the help of his countenance." This word countenance, it has the idea of one's face, one's appearance, one's presence. One idea could be is that it speaks of a special manifestation of God's presence to support us in the worst of times. That could be it, that he's talking about the help of God's presence, his face, seeing God's face in this trial, and he's able to get help and comfort because God's there with him. But there's another idea, the help of one's countenance. The countenance, as I said, it's one's face, and I want you to think of this, to show one's face. Meant to show favor and grace. To hide one's face is to mean that they were rejecting or refusing or not showing favor. So let me give you an idea. So whenever we sin, does it break the heart of God? Amen. It does. And God's face is turned away from us. Because he's not happy with that. And just think, it's just like when you're a child and you did something wrong, you disobeyed your parents, and that very thing happened. You remember how it broke your heart? Your parents wouldn't even look at you. Because they were so disappointed in you. And the only thing that got that changed was when you went to him and told him, I'm sorry. And so when they showed their face, what is that? A sign of forgiveness, a sign of favor, a sign of grace being shown. And so David here is saying, the help of thy, of his countenance. Hope thou in God, foster, yet praise him. What was he going to praise him for? For the help of his countenance. Because whenever he comes to God and God shows him his face, it's going to help him. It's going to help him out of that cast down state. It's going to help him out of that depression when he sees God's face. God's favor, God's grace. Now, I want you to look at verse 11. That this one, the very last phrase, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, it's different here because, you know, verse 5, he says that the help of his countenance, speaking of God's countenance. But here he says, who, God, is the health of my countenance. So he now David, verse 11, he's talking about his own countenance, his own face. Verse 5, he's talking about God's countenance. So he's saying that God is the health of my countenance. You know what's interesting about this word health? It's translated different ways in our King James Bible. It's translated salvation, welfare, help, deliverance, health. But it's mostly, in most of the usages of this Hebrew word, it's translated salvation. And so I want you to think about what David's saying, that God, he is the help, he is the salvation, he is the help, he is the deliverance of my countenance. Now, what was David's countenance? He was cast down. His face was cast down. He was bowed down. But God was the help, the saving of his face, his countenance. In other words, God lifted up his cast down spirit, lifted up his face. We even use this term, saving your face. That's what David said. God is the saving of my face. My face was all cast down. I was cast down and so, but God, he is the help of my countenance. He's going to lift up my face that was cast down. So you see David's confidence in God. He was turning to God. He was turning to God. So if it's sin, what do? We turn to God. We get forgiveness. And when we do that, He's going to show us his face. He's going to forgive. We're going to see his favor again in our life. We're going to have that fellowship. And in turn, that's going to save our face. It's going to lift us up. No longer are we going to have that long face of being cast down, but we're going to be joyful. We're going to be happy because God's going to change our countenance. Now, the second one, we've got to move quickly, is it because of sickness? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is it because of sickness? You know, sometimes prolonged illness can get us so cast down in our soul. I know Robbie's experienced that. I know some of you others have experienced that. I've experienced that. If you've had a long, prolonged sickness, it will get you down. Amen. It will get you down. There's nothing like being sick for a long, long time and not getting well. It just really, really gets you down. I've had it in my life. I remember when we were in Ghana, I didn't know I had hemochromatosis. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was having heart palpitations. I was having all kinds of health issues. I had a really bad UTI, prostatitis on top of that. And I took 2 rounds of antibiotics for 6 months and still wasn't well. And it was affecting my life because it was hard to go to town. It was hard to go to church. It was hard to go for evangelism because I hurt. And it was like I needed to go to the restroom all the time, but I couldn't. I remember being depressed. I remember thinking, Lord, when is this going to end? when am I going to get well? And I remember my wife came home for, I think, her dad's heart surgery at that time. And here I am with my kids alone. But, you know, my wife is such a good mom and wife. She cooked, before she left, she cooked over 2 weeks of meals and put them in the freezer. And so all my girls had to do was heat it up. And I mean, she was such a big help to us. But she being away was even added to the being cast down and like, man, this is horrible. But God was good because she came back with some medicine that took care of my problem. But, you know, I know that being sick can cast us down. In Psalm 77, I'm going to read very quickly, Psalm 77, verse 2 through 4, he said this, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." So he talks about his sore ran in the night and ceased not. And his soul refused to be comforted. He was having some kind of physical ailment that overwhelmed his spirit, that kept him awake. He said, "My eyes, thou holdest my eyes waking." He couldn't sleep. He was so troubled he couldn't speak because of this physical ailment that he had. But he sought the Lord, it says, in the day of his trouble. You know, David's answer in Psalm 42 is hope thou in God. You know, if we're sick, we just got to keep going back to God. We just got to keep hoping in God. We just got to keep trusting God. We just got to keep believing God. We just got to keep believing Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. It's hard, but we still have to believe it. We still have to trust God. We still have to hope in God. That's what David says. "Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God." Put your expectation in Him. Put your trust in Him. You know, one thing I'm thankful about Christmas is that Jesus came and was made flesh so that He could suffer in His body sickness. Now, He didn't suffer sin. He never sinned. Now, He was tempted, but He suffered all the other things. He suffered in the flesh hunger, He's thirst, sickness, the loss of loved ones. He experienced all these different things as a human, as a man. And Hebrews 2 tells us that He can sympathize with us in our infirmities because He was in the flesh and He was tempted. So He can succor us, is what it says. He can help us. He can come to our aid. And so I'm thankful that we have a Savior like that, that when we have a sickness that's just getting us cast down, or if it's sin that's getting us cast down, we have a Savior that can take care of both of those needs. He's a Savior that can come to our aid. Now I'm going to move to the third one. Is it because of satanic attacks? Is it because of satanic attacks? I believe that our enemy, he's launching attacks against God's people. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He is attacking so many Christian families today, so many, even in our church family, he's attacking, launching attacks and getting Christians cast down and defeated. You know, one of my favorite stories about this is 1 Kings 19. And I'm not going to take much time there, but 1 Kings 19 is the story of Elijah. Remember, he went to Mount Carmel and he got that victory over all the prophets of Baal. He was able to kill all those prophets of Baal. And so they were in a drought for 3.5 years. And it was really serious. It was really difficult. So he prayed, and you know, he kept praying and kept praying. He prayed and prayed. And finally, he told Ahab, King Ahab, he said, get in your chariot and head to Jezreel because the rain's coming. He saw the cloud starting to come. And the Bible says he ran before the chariot. Now, I looked it up today. From Mount Carmel to Jezreel, it's about 25 miles. That's about a marathon. He outruns the chariot. And now, this is an important part of the story. I want you to hang on. He gets there, and Jezebel, the queen, threatened his life for killing her prophets. And surprisingly, this prophet who just faced all of these false prophets and slew all of them, he ran for his life. And you know, the Bible says he ran from Jezreel to Beersheba. I don't know if he ran the whole way, but he took off and he took his servant. They went down to Beersheba. And I'll have to look in my notes. Okay, it's about 100 miles from Jezreel to Beersheba. So he ran 25, and then he turns around and he's going 100 miles. And then he told his servant, stay there, and he went a day into the desert. So let's say maybe 20 miles. I want you to think about how much ground this guy covered. A lot of ground. He was pretty down and physically as well as spiritually. And so when you read this story and you find that when he got out there in the desert, he just told the Lord, he said, it's enough. Just take my life. He was so cast down. He was so depressed. He said, God, it's enough. Just take me. Just kill me, Lord. I mean, this is a guy, he was a great prophet, but right at this point, he was suicidal. He was at the point, he said, I've had enough. I'm done. Just take my life. We find it surprising, but this man was cast down. If somebody as great as Elijah, a prophet that big, think of all the things that God, the miracles that this guy did. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed and then it rained. You think of all the other miracles and that you can read in Kings about his ministry and life, but yet we somehow think we might escape this being cast down in our souls. It'll happen, folks. It'll come. And he was throwing a pity party. He was asking God just to take him. And you know, I think the reason why I mentioned all the miles that he traveled is because when we are physically weary, that's when the devil gets the biggest victory. Right after a great victory. I mean, he had a great victory. And, you know, after great victories, that's when Satan hits the hardest. And that's when we are usually the most vulnerable and weak physically and spiritually. So he was in this place of being totally wearied physically and spiritually, that Satan attacked him to the point that he was ready to die. And so that can happen to us. Satan can get us to that point. I guarantee you, he can get you there. You may think, well, I'd never commit suicide. Don't you think that, because Satan can get you there. He can get you so down that's what you're going to want. You're going to wish for it. That's what happened to Elijah. And what I find interesting in that story, that at that point, the angel came and I mean, he was sleeping. He was so tired, he was sleeping. The angel came and said, arise and eat. He brought him food, fed him. And then he slept some more. It doesn't say how long he slept. And then he woke him up again. He said, hey, arise and eat. You know what God did? God gave him rest and food. Let him rest. Let him sleep. Let him eat. Let him recover from this weariness. And then from there, he went down to 260 miles to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. Now, this is significant because the Mount of God, that's where God met Moses. That's where God gave the law. Here he goes to this mount, and here he goes to God. He was having some satanic attacks, but he went to the right place, didn't he? And it was there in that mount that he heard that still small voice. It was there in the Mount of God that God spoke to him. It was there in the Mount of God that God rebuked him. Only after he gave him rest, only after he nourished him, then he got him there and he rebuked him, said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Go. He told him to go. He gave him a job to do. Elijah, you got a job to do. What are you doing here having this pity party? You know, I think there's a lesson there. When we're down, we need to hope in God. We need to go to God. We need to go to Him with our need. And we need to do what He tells us to do. You know, the worst thing you can do when you're down is stop serving God. The worst thing you can do when you're down is stop coming to church. The worst thing you can do when you're down is stop reading your Bible and praying. That's the worst thing you can do. That's what the devil wants you to do. And you're going to get further and further down. That's the worst thing. Why did he tell Elijah when he was down, go, I got a job for you. Get busy serving me. Do what I tell you to do. Just go. Get out and minister to the needy. Shift your focus from self to others. Stop pitying yourself. You're not the only one suffering. There are other brothers and sisters out there suffering. You got a job to do. So there's a lot we can learn from that. I wish we had more time, but we don't. Are you cast down your soul? Are you discouraged? Are you on the sidelines? Well, you're here Wednesday night. You may not be on the sidelines, but I'm sure some of you might be discouraged. And we didn't answer all the questions, but I did give you three things to consider. Is there sin? Is there sickness? Is there satanic attacks? Whatever it is, the answer is still the same in Psalm 42. Hope thou in God. Go to Him. Put your confidence in Him. Put your expectation in God. Put your trust in Him. Take refuge in Him. Take your prayers to God. You know, in this psalm, that's what David said he was going to do. He was going to pray. And in verse 8, yet the Lord will command. See his confidence? Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. In the daytime and the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. So that's what we have to do, hope in God. Put our confidence, we're going to praise him. We're going to get through this. It's just a season. It's just a season of discouragement, a season of trouble, a season of problems. It's not permanent. It's just temporary. We're just passing through this valley. And so he said, for I will yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. So, Christian, be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord. He's going to see us through. No matter what we're going through, he's going to see us through. Let's just keep trusting him. Keep serving. Keep going to him. Keep reading your Bible, praying. Keep serving. Keep being faithful. Don't follow your emotions. There are a lot of times, folks, I preach discouraged. But what if I just stayed home? What if I just said, well, I'm discouraged, so I'm really not fit to preach. I'm just going to stay home and have a pity party. I'm just not going to come to church tonight. What if I did that all the times I was discouraged? You'd be going, where's the pastor? I mean, who's going to preach tonight? He didn't show up. Amen. You know, I get more encouraged by coming and after I'm done preaching and serving ministry, I go away like, wow, thank you, Lord, for encouraging me. Amen. The same is true for church members. Listen, don't stop serving. That's not going to help. You get more encouraged. Amen. You're only going to find encouragement in the Lord. So let's stand and we're going to pray. Our Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful for the songs that where David just, he shows the reality of life, that in life we're going to have problems, we're going to have depression, discouragement, we're going to become despondent at times, we're going to want to just like Elijah, we're just going to say it's enough, I'm done, we're just going to be so tired, weary, ready to quit. Lord, it happens. Lord, I'm thankful that David was one of those kind of men that he always went to his God. He took refuge in the Lord. He took his burden to the Lord. He found encouragement. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Lord, help us to learn from David. Lord, when we're discouraged, help us to go to you, Lord, and help us to take it to you. Help us to have hope and wait for you to answer our prayer. Wait for you to come to our aid and to be patient, to endure tribulations, to endure troubles. Lord, don't let us follow our emotions and just stop serving just because we don't feel like it. But Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be good stewards, to keep on keeping on serving you. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.